Hey, Midtown family, I'm Michael Bailey, one of the pastors at our Lexington Church. Give is a series that we do every year during the Christmas season, where we take 3 to 4 weeks to intentionally focus on the hope that we have in Jesus. Specifically, we consider how God's sacrificial generosity towards us in Christ motivates us to live lives marked by generosity and service as well. A big way that we do that is through something we call our Give Initiatives. Our Give Initiatives are different opportunities to give and serve with our time and money in this season. Now, this year, because of COVID-19, our initiatives look a little bit different, but our goal to become an increasingly generous people remains the same. This year, we have 4 distinct and unique Give Initiatives that we want to call all of our church family towards. First and most simply, if you're not yet a tithing member of our church family, we want for you to sign up to become one. We consider tithing a spiritual practice that helps develop a lifestyle of sacrificial generosity. It's also specifically how we fund and fuel all that we do as a church in our city. Second, following Jesus with our money takes intentionality and planning. We tend to not get there on accident and need help along the way. Our personal finance seminar is our second Give Initiative, and it's designed to give you the help that you need. The seminar will be held at the beginning of next year, and it will provide personal counseling on how to biblically and wisely steward your finances. So if you need help getting started or help planning what you're going to do, I want to encourage you to sign up online. Third, due to the pandemic, we're postponing our annual Serve the City weekend to a later date. However, this year we want to encourage every life group to select a Serve the City organization to partner with over the next year. Through life groups regularly serving alongside our Serve the City organizations year-round, we believe we'll be able to sustainably love and serve the most vulnerable and marginalized in Columbia. And fourth, this year we are excited to introduce you to Agape Children's Ministry. Agape Children's Ministry is an orphan reunification ministry in Kenya. They are a Christian ministry based in Kisumu, Kenya that exists to reunite at-risk children while equipping and empowering their parents to love and care for them. Their ministry serves approximately 1,500 families, and they are currently seeking to establish a new arm of their ministry in the city of Nakuru. This year, we want to help raise $20,000 to help them expand their efforts. Those funds will directly go to helping serve approximately 56 new children from the point of rescue to reunification. To learn more about any of these initiatives or to sign up to give, head on over to our series page. You'll find everything that you need there. It's our hope and prayer that through our initiatives, Jesus might use us to be more like him as we seek to care for the most vulnerable and marginalized in our city and around the world.
You're listening to Teaching from Midtown Fellowship, a Jesus-centered family on mission in Columbia, South Carolina. If you're interested in finding out more about us, our family of churches, or how to partner with us, go to midtowncolumbia.com.
This Christmas season is not what any of us expected this time last year. In this season where every day just seems to blur together, it's hard to separate one day from the other. It's during this season where we are reminded, where we remember that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into the world, that he was born. And because of that, we have every reason to be a joyous, celebrating people no matter what the circumstances are. So for the next few weeks, what we're going to be doing as a church family is celebrating Advent and press into the hope that God gives us. And we see in light of that what he's calling us to do. For those of you that are new to this season, Advent is the Latin word for arrival. It's when we anticipate and celebrate the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago by setting aside 4 weeks in the church calendar to set our hearts on this good news. Now, a disclaimer, the goal of Advent isn't to tell you something new. Advent isn't necessarily learning about new things or having a fresh perspective. Advent is about remembering. It's about remembering the hope that God has come into the world to save the world. So today, what I want to do this morning, I want to start in a passage that you probably think has absolutely nothing to do with Christmas, but just hang on tight. I promise it's all going to connect. Just wait and see. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Reading in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, and each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." All right, now, pause real quick. This is the prophet Isaiah writing around the 8th century BC in one of Israel's most tumultuous times. For one thing, Israel was just rampant with idol worship. You notice in verse 1 that their king died. This king who is supposed to be the prime example of what it means to follow God elsewhere in the Old Testament, you see he actually dies a pretty lonely and terrible death. Not only that, but the Assyrian Empire is knocking on their door, just waiting to conquer these people. And Isaiah has this vision where he is in the presence of God, specifically in his temple, in the Holy of Holies. And one thing you notice in the text is just the reaction. There's a lot of space given to the angels and what they're doing. And you notice these angels, they can't even stand to look at the presence of God. They can't even stand to walk the ground that God is on. And they're just flying around, just singing, "Holy, holy, holy," at the top of their lungs. Then, to just amplify that even more, keep reading with me. It says, "Then the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." So can you imagine that? Not only is it a very freaky sight to see these angels singing and covering their eyes and flying around, but then you start to have this earthquake happening, and you start to see white-hot smoke billowing from the corners of the temple. It's like this natural disaster movie happening in front of your very eyes. And you almost kind of think, before we move on, you kind of wonder, what's Isaiah's reaction going to be to all of this, to this vision that's happening in front of him? Do you think he would like grab a guitar and say, "Hey God, let me just sing a worship song real quick," or say, "Merry Christmas. Hey, this is pretty neat, right?" Nah, keep reading with me. Verse 5. "And I said," referring to Isaiah, "and I said, 'Woe is me. I am lost, and I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Now, I don't know if you really capture just the terror in Isaiah's voice, but essentially he's saying, "I am undone. Like, this is it for me. I can't stand to be in God's presence right now, in all of his glory and presence, and live to talk about it because I'm a sinner." To give you some sort of illustration to really help grasp this reality, imagine you go into work later this week, and you're slacking off, and you're not really doing anything. Maybe you're just watching YouTube videos of funny cats or something. You just spend all 8 hours just watching YouTube videos of that. And your boss at the end of the workday asks, "Hey, so what have you been doing today?" And you give some vague, dishonest answer. Maybe you pull up a tab with like Google spreadsheets and be like, "Oh yeah, I've just been working on my project, just nonstop." And your boss says, "Well, I know that's not true because I've been walking past your office all day and have seen that you've done nothing but look at YouTube videos all day. So what do you have to say about that?" I would imagine you would immediately start having this knot in your stomach. You would start getting a little panicky. Your heart would start to pick up the pace a little bit because you've been caught. You've been exposed. You are caught in that lie by someone who is more powerful than you, by someone who is above you. You've been exposed. Now, imagine that and crank that by a million. This is in some way what Isaiah is experiencing, being in the full power and presence of God. All of his sin, all of his brokenness, in an instant exposed by someone more powerful than him. So what does this vision that's some 3,000 years old have to do with us now? You see, what Isaiah is experiencing is he is having this moment where he is clearly aware of how flawed and how broken he is and how amazing and how powerful God is. He sees in an instant how he has failed to love and honor and serve God as he should, and he begins to just come apart at the seams. All of his sin, all of his shortcomings are exposed. And this is what happens to us when we experience a godly conviction of sin. When we understand that our sin and our brokenness are seen and laid bare before a holy, righteous, and perfect God. When we see God correctly, the sin in us is exposed, and we can be left feeling embarrassed or ashamed or guilty. And I don't know if you all will connect with this at all, but I know for me, in the last 8 to 9 months in the midst of this pandemic, I've experienced more times than I can count just how much I fall short and all the sin that's exposed in me. And I wish I could tell you I was handling this COVID season better than I am, but to be honest with you, it's really hard to care about work or to care about spiritual things when time just feels so abstract and one day just feels like the other. And I can do my work, but man, it's hard to care when I don't get to be around people or I don't see the immediate effect that my work has done. And listen, I love my kids, and we have some really sweet rhythms in place each week to hang out with them and have quality time. But honestly, since the pandemic, parenting has crushed me like over and over and over again during the season. And there have been days where I've just felt so overwhelmed that I have cried tears of exhaustion, sometimes multiple times a day. Now, I don't know what sin has been exposed in your heart during this pandemic, but for you, maybe it's apathy. Like, you know what you should be doing, spending time with Jesus, being in community, confessing sin to God and to others, but you just don't want to because life is hard and you would much rather check out because that's the easier thing to do. For some of us, apathy has taken the shape of all sorts of coping mechanisms. Maybe that's food or alcohol or drugs that after a long, hard day, you find yourself needing something to take the edge off, to numb yourself to your reality, and it's become a habit for you. Just over and over again, you need more and more and more. Or maybe it's Netflix because, to be honest, it feels much easier. You feel more productive to say that you've binged this show or you've gone through this new series over the weekend than to say you've put in a good hard day of work or that you've spent lots of solid time with Jesus and with community. Whatever you're running to, this pandemic is exposing sin in us and we're struggling. We're struggling in our mental, emotional, spiritual health. Or maybe you're a parent like me, and these last 8 to 9 months have been some of the hardest times you've had with your kids because your go-to places like schools and parks and libraries have, for the most part, been closed, and you can't escape your kids, right? It just seems like every corner of the house you go to, there's one of your kids just wanting your time and attention and energy. And you've seen just how impatient and annoyed and angry you get. Or maybe you've given into them and you just let them run the house because it's way easier to do. Whatever the sin issue that this pandemic has exposed in your heart, the question we're left with is this, that in light of our sin, in light of our brokenness, in light of all of the ways that we are struggling, how on earth can a holy, righteous, perfect God coexist with us broken, sinful human beings? Well, in the very next chapter of Isaiah, he's going to give for us a prophecy that completely flips the script. So read with me Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." The Spirit speaking through Isaiah says that the only way for God and people to coexist is through a virgin giving birth to a son. And this son's name will be Emmanuel. That's Hebrew for God with us. So somehow the virgin conceived a son is going to make a way for God to be with us. And that's the prophecy 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And fast forward, and Matthew picks up this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7 and connects it to the birth of Jesus. See, I told you this was going to connect to Christmas. I don't know if you believed me, but here we are. See? Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23 says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Through the birth of Jesus, God in all his fullness and power and glory, he is going to take on our humanity. And he's not going to wipe you out, but he's going to step into your mess. He's going to take on your sin, all of your brokenness. He's going to take all of that on the cross. Jesus will face the terror of God's wrathful presence for our sin so that we can instead receive God's presence as a gracious, loving Father. Through his birth and through his blood, he will take us sinners and he will call us saints. When we were enemies, he will call us now friends, adopted into the family of God. When we were condemned to death, Jesus came through his birth to give us life. He saves us from our sin. He shows us a better way to live. And I want us to hear that because Jesus has come. Because Jesus is God with us. It's not like God is like some boss who's here to catch you on your sin, to make you feel shame. No, he's made a way for you to be with him. He's found a way. He's found an answer to rescue you from your sin and your brokenness. He has unlocked for you his presence and love, even in the worst of circumstances. No matter how apathetic you may have been this year, or how much you think you've blown it as a parent or as a student or whatever, no matter what sin has been exposed this year, know that through Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, God made a way for you to be in his presence. And this is good news for us, family. For those who trust in Jesus, rather than having shame or embarrassment, we now have hope. We now have peace. We have love and joy that comes from renewing our hope over and over and over again in God's presence and his love for us. Rather than God's presence being terrifying and exposing and unsettling, God's presence now becomes the most comforting gift in the world. And what a beautiful thing to consider as we step into this Advent season, that God sees you. God sees you in all of your brokenness right now, and in Christ, he accepts you. That God knows you. He knows what you've done this week, this last month, this last year. God knows you, and in Christ, he loves you. God sees you and knows you, and in Christ, he is not disappointed in you. Because Jesus has come to save us from our sin, hear me. Because Jesus has come to save us from our sin. God likes you. He does. Wherever you're at, maybe you've been just crushing this pandemic. You are like the new you, just like this better version of you, just like a floating wherever you go because you're just so enamored with God. Or maybe you've been struggling and failing over and over again in this pandemic. Wherever you are on the spiritual spectrum, know that God loves you. He likes you. He accepts you. He knows you, and he is with us. So our call every year during Advent is to remember and to hope in Jesus, that he arrived 2,000 years ago to rescue us from sin. And for those that follow him, one day he is coming back to free us from all of sin's havoc and decay, to save us from all disease, all death. And so our hope is that we would fix our eyes on his love for us more than we would fix our eyes on our sin. That no matter what you've done this past year, no matter what kind of year it has been for you, that you would fix your eyes on the love and grace of Jesus made available for you. So to get really practical for us for this season, we actually wrote a brand new month-long devotional for you filled with all sorts of scripture and prayer prompts and questions for you to work through and pray through and journal during this Advent season to help us remember, to help us to fix our eyes on this reality that Jesus has saved us from our sin. Your life group leaders, if they haven't already, they'll be distributing these out to you and they'll be at our on-campus events. But it's our aim that this is something we're all doing together, that we would fix our eyes on the same beautiful truths that Jesus offers us. And if you're listening and you already have a daily quiet time or devotional time with Jesus, man, that is awesome. And I just want to thank you for abiding with Jesus. And I would say that you would add this Advent guide onto what you're doing already in your daily time with Jesus so that this can be something we all do together as a family of churches. If you have those in life group who say, yeah, I struggle to spend time in God's word, or quiet time is really inconsistent and I always feel stressed or busy, that because this is something we're all doing together, that us in our life groups, that we would come alongside one another to help encourage one another to spend time with Jesus, to fix our eyes on him. Also would encourage you later this week to check out our midweek podcast, and we'll cover just all of the good stuff that we have in that Advent guide and how to use it, especially if you are a parent with kids, all the extra stuff that we have in there to help you deepen your love for Jesus this season, for you to more fully see and appreciate that God is with us. Because if you ever want to be a person of hope and love and joy and peace, if you ever want to be a person who looks more and more like Jesus each day, to know deep down in your bones that God is with you, it starts with daily spending time with him. Because family, that's what we need right now. That's what we need to hear. With the year that we've had, let's not waste our Advent season. Let's let the truth of Advent sink into our hearts more and more this year, knowing that whatever happens, no matter what even 2021 is going to look like, that we would know full well that God is with us. Will you pray with me? God, I pray that we would use this season as a church family across our family of churches to press into the reality that you are with us and your birth is what made it all possible. That through your birth, your life, your death, your resurrection, you made a way. You found the answer to our sin. So God, we ask that by the power of your Spirit, we would fight off apathy, that we would fight off whatever we are feeling, that we would shake that off and use this season to remember this beautiful truth. The truest thing in the world is that you have come to save sinners like us, and one day you are coming back. And God, during this pandemic, we feel those pains even more, where we are asking God, come soon, and we know you will, because your birth is real. We know that you are coming back one day to wipe out all sin, all disease, to redeem the world to yourself. And in the meantime, God, we pray and ask that as a church, that we would know this truth more and more this season. We pray this in your name. Amen.